Good afternoon, everyone. This is day 9 of May Days, and it's a fairly nice afternoon. It's quite windy, though, so I'm starting this outside, and I'm on my swinging seat, but I might get too cold because the wind's just blown. It's not warm, but it's not freezing either. I don't know what the temperature is, probably 17 or 8, no, I don't know, 16, something like that. When the sun's out. Meanwhile, too to sleep upstairs because I've had a bit of a stomach ache and stuff today, which I haven't had for a long time actually, and I fell asleep this afternoon because I lay down, which is fatal. And I opened the door and I heard that lovely blackbird singing and I thought, I want to sit out there. So I've got a drink of squash with me. Have to sit with my hand over the top because I've got a phobia about wasps going in it. Anyway, what I want to talk about, I won't make this very long. I want to talk about why people think it's okay for them to cross lines. I'm talking figuratively speaking, of course, and metaphorically. I'm not talking about stepping over the lines and pavement because they're superstitious, which is another discussion topic altogether. I'm talking about lines in behaviour. I'm going to call this crossing the line or something like that, and I'm going to label it as a discussion topic, I think. But I could have called it equally, or I could call it inappropriate behaviour, or why people think that it's okay to cross lines. Now, I don't know, and I'm not meaning to have a chip on my shoulder, because I actually don't think I have, about my disability, but I believe people sometimes cross lines because for some reason they think it's okay to do so because I'm blind. Now, I know that may be opening a can of worms, but I'm going to cite two instances of this. They're actually already contained in yesterday's Boo. Now, if you didn't listen to it, I'll quickly recap. It was me going to the door to answer to my Tesco's delivery. It was quite late at night, between 9 and 10 at night. The driver was very helpful. He brought all my stuff in, asked me where I wanted it. Did I want him to put my freezer stuff away? And he told me I should let them know that, so that they can put, you know, he's going to let them know so that they can give me more time. Now, I'm quite capable of bringing in my own shopping. They put the crates at the door and everything. But to be quite honest with you, I'm capable of doing it, but it's quicker for them to do it. So if they're worried about saving time, then it's quicker for them to do it than for me to carry all the bags in, put them down. They're doing it all day long. It's quicker for them. So I do always let them do it. Now, I know I've got my sons here. Well, I had my sons here. Obi had gone out for the evening, but I had my sons here. They were upstairs and they didn't come down. Maybe you could say, and I should have told him they were here, not, don't worry, my sons will get it in. It's a bit like, again, I'm going referring to something the other day, when I went to the polling station, if I don't use the service they provided, even though it's, well, this isn't, the Tesco's one's a good one, so this is not much of an analogy, but you'll see what I'm saying. There's a similarity. If I didn't use the Braille template to vote, they will think there's no need for it. And so if I don't use the service that Tesco's kindly provide, of someone bringing it in, if you're disabled or elderly or whatever, then, you know, it might be taken away, or I might not receive it at a time when I need it, when there isn't anybody here. So I let him go ahead and do it. Now, he apologised. He asked me if I'd always been, quote, been like that, meaning blind. And he said he apologised for being intrusive, and I didn't mind that. That was fine. I briefly explained about it, and then he came and he was standing there talking to Niall. And then it came to going now, and he said, can I give you a kiss goodbye? But he didn't give me a chance to say yes or no. And he kissed me on the cheek. And I don't know. I was so taken aback. I think maybe I'm being wrong. You know, maybe I'm wrong. I think he crossed the line there. He, in my opinion, crossed the line. Now, I could choose to report him, quite honestly. They'd easily find out who he was. But then I think, well, what have I got to gain from that, really? He didn't do any harm. And I don't want to get him into trouble. I certainly don't want to get him fired. I don't want it to go to court or something like that. Yet, really, I shouldn't have to put up with that kind of thing. Yes, he meant well, but it was a shock to me, and no harm was done. But the other thing was, which I thought was a bit creepy, he thought I was here on my own. And would he have done it? I don't think he would have done it if he thought anyone else was in the house. Now, if you look at something like that, okay, his intentions might not have been bad, but when you look at something like that and you say, if you can say that he might not have done it when there was, if he knew someone else was here, that's when you can think that there's something not right. I mean, if he had known they were here and still done it, then I would have probably thought, oh, well, you know. But the fact that he knew, as far as he knew, it was just me and him. I'm not very happy about it, to be quite honest with you. I know no harm was done, but it was inappropriate. I really feel it was inappropriate. And I feel he did it because I'm blind and I couldn't do anything about it. And he might have been being nice and he felt sorry for me. He probably thought, oh, she's got nobody, she's on her own. I suspect he thought all that. Well, if he did, I did tell him I had two sons who could see, but I don't know what he thought, where he thought they were, or maybe he just didn't think. And, you know, I had a hell of a lot of shopping there for one person. But, you know, it could have been for a month, I suppose. So he crossed the line. I feel he crossed the line. Now, in that post, which wasn't really related to that, I was going to talk about it anyway. I suppose it was related to that, but was the incident with my mum and the electoral roll forms. She was here when the lady came to collect them. I hadn't filled them in. The lady said she'd come back in half an hour, so my mum said, OK, I'll fill them in for you. It came to ethnicity, and she said, what shall I put for that? And I said, white British, and she said, OK, I'm going to put your English. And I said, because that's what you are. And I said, pardon? I said, I want you to put I'm white British, because that's my identity. Oh, no, well, I'm putting English, and she put English, because there was nothing I could do about it. Now, she stepped over the line. She really was bang out of order. Now, I couldn't tell you, honestly, which one I think is worse. In some ways, I think my mum's reaction was worse, because she ought to know better. It's very disrespectful what she did, extremely disrespectful. And really, when I look back at it, it still makes me very angry. Now, what I should have done is actually said, oh, well, don't bother filling it in then. I'll ask the lady to do it when she comes back. I should have done that. I don't know why I didn't do that. So, you know, maybe you could say it's no big deal. Well, white, British, English, well, what's the difference? Okay, there isn't a difference, but I've got a British passport, not an English passport, for a start. I say I'm from Britain or the UK. When someone asks me, where are you from? I say, I'm from the UK. I don't say England. I'm not saying I'm proud to be British, but I'm one of the people, who wants Scotland to stay with us, and I want and Northern Ireland to stay with us, and I want us to be Britain. If that doesn't happen one day, then, which I'm sure one day we will be all separate. Well, there's nothing I can do about it, but for now, I'm British. White British. And that's how I identify myself. Yes, I'm basically English, but when you look at it, what is English? English is a mixture of lots of things. And I can't categorically say that I've got no other... My surname was Morgan. Go figure. That's not an English name, is it? So, you know, there's going to be some Welsh in there somewhere, or Irish. I think that's an Irish name. And I've got... my great-grandfather was Irish. And apparently we've got a bit of Russian on one side. On my mother's side, so, you know, English, no, I'm British, and that's it. So I feel very strongly about that, but more than anything, I feel very strongly that my identity, you know, that makes me so angry. That's like taking my identity away from me, and she had no right to do that against my wishes. Why does she think she can do it? Because if I was filling it, because she knows that there's nothing I can do about it. She feels she can overstep that line because I'm blind, because I relied on someone else to fill in my forms for me. I hope one day we can do those online as well as the accessible voting. And like I was saying, could I trust her to you know, they lined up the template, but I asked her to put my hand in the right place just to be sure, so I can put the cross in. Would she have done it if I wanted to vote someone else? I don't know. Going on that past experience, I really don't know. And I just wondered if anyone else has had experiences like this. I could probably think of dozens that have happened throughout my life where people didn't respect my wishes. Now, I've got a sister who's fully sighted, and I'm not going to say anything derogatory about her, except that if you look at the two of us... Niall! Come off the grass. Sorry. If you look at the two of us, I think you'll find that if you look at our lives, the way we run our lives, that mine is far more organised, and I'm far more independently stand on my own two feet than she can. And I'm not meaning that in a bad way, but it's absolutely true. So my blindness shouldn't come into any of the... Well, it certainly shouldn't have come into the form-filling thing where I should have my choice taken away from me. My blindness doesn't come into anything. I mean, yes, I'm blind, and the only that it does have an impact on certain things. I was listening to Claire Randall and Paul Hopkins's roundup of the aftermath of the general election, and Claire was saying about getting a job for a blind person it is just much more difficult because of our blindness. We can't just go in the supermarket and get a job stuck in shelves or on the till or I don't know, who's going to employ a blind cleaner? You know, we could do any number of jobs if we could see just to get a bit more money, but we can't do that. So that does have to be taken into account. But generally, you know, when we run our daily lives, the way we do things, I don't want it to be all that people see. I want people to see past it, and I feel my family at least should be able to do that. My family at least should be able to do that. And this man, I don't know what he was thinking, because he could really have landed himself... Well, he still could if I just decided to do something. He really could end up in a whole load of crap because of one thing. It may be well-intentioned, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I have no idea. You know, we are a bit vulnerable to a certain extent because... People can cross lines. They can do things that we don't even realise. Like, I remember a man came to measure up the Affinity Sutton, who are the local housing people. They're not who I rent my house from, but they are like an umbrella organisation that makes sure all the tenants in the borough get what they need. And, of course, that's probably one of the first things that's going to get cut to hell by the new government. But anyway... they came to put a handrail in for me, not because I need a handrail, I actually don't, but because we've got a 50-foot front drive and it's all concrete and there's no fence, no boundary, and there's nothing that would stop me if I imagine I had to go for a doctor's appointment and it was a really icy day and the ground was full of ice. If I wanted to walk out there's nothing to hold on to. So I asked, they asked me if there's anything that I needed in the home, and I said no. But if they wanted to put in a handrail, it's a bit of an eyesore, and I don't like it, and I've never actually needed to use it yet, but there might come a time when I do. So he came to measure up to, I think it was the day he actually came to install it. And he knocked on the door, and Ronan was there, but he couldn't see Ronan. Ronan was like in, I can't explain it, our... front door is at right angles to the front window because it's a porch that's been built on the front, like an extension. So when you come up to the front door, your left shoulder, and you're facing the front door, your left shoulder is towards the front window. And it was a full-length window back then. Before we had the fire, it was a full-length glass with opening windows at the top, you know. Anyway, that had to be replaced, so it's only a half a window now. But he was in there, and he could see what was going on. Now, I came to the door and I wasn't wearing anything particularly revealing. I have got a big bust. I'm sorry I have to mention it here, but this is part of the thing. I had a top on. It was low cut, but it wasn't obscene, if you know what I mean. And I went to the door. And when I opened the door, there was this huge, long silence. And I thought, okay. And then he said, I'm here to do your handrail. And I said, okay. And then he said, hold on a minute, I've got to go and get something out of the car. He went and got this bit of paper, and he put it on the wall. He rested it on the wall because he wanted to write something down, and he wanted to write my phone number down because he said he didn't know if he had, when he saw it, he didn't know if he had enough of the stuff to do it, or he didn't know if he could do it all in one day. And I said I was going to the hospital that afternoon, so he wanted to have my phone number so that he could ring me and arrange if he had to come back. He didn't, but so he got my piece of paper with my information on, and I started to tell him my phone number, and I said, it's 01689, which is the Orpington code. And I said, it's 810. And he went, that's the first numbers of my phone number. And I was like, oh. And I don't know, there was something too over-familiar about it. And then he said, you know the trouble with these forms, don't you? And I went, no. And he went, well, I can see how old you are. And I went, oh, really? And I thought, well, so what? What do I care? He was an old codger. Well, he'd say he's in his 60s. Sorry if I'm insulting anyone, but you know what I mean. He wasn't a young bloke. And I thought, well, all right. Anyway, I said, I'm going in now, so because I had to get ready. And he carried on. And then I went back in, and Ronan said to me, you know, when you opened the door, when there was a silence, he was like looking, staring down your front, down your cleavage, down your, you know. And I'm like, oh, you know. And I thought, well, if I could see, you know, there's no way he would do that. And it made me feel really uncomfortable. And then he knocked on the door again, and I said, Connor was home, and I said, can you go to the door, please? Because I didn't want to face him again, because I felt kind of embarrassed. And I thought, it's not, you know, it's not very nice, and it's really taking advantage. And if I could see, he wouldn't have done that. And I did wonder why there was a silence like that. Whether he was totally flabbergasted, I don't know. Maybe he thinks blind people don't have those things. Boobs. Anyway, I said, Connor, can you go to the door, please? Connor went to the door. He wanted to run a cable through the kitchen window to use his tools, his power tools. So after that, I said, well, if he rings on the doorbell anymore while I'm here, you can go, because I don't want to have any more dealing with him. So I had to pass him to go out, because I was going to the hospital. So I just... It wasn't a very nice day. It was one of those days when it's humid. So I made sure I wrapped up well. I had my zip on my coat done up as far as it could go. And I went on my way. I didn't see him again. But, you know, it's just things like that. I feel that was crossing the line. It was. I mean, okay, I know men do things like that. But, I mean, they do. Because that's what men do. And I've been out with the kids loads of times. And they've got, you know, when they were a bit younger, even like, I don't know, and OB, and he said, oh, that man's looking at your chest. I think, well, okay, that's what men do, but they don't have to do it right face to face with me on my doorstep like that and not say anything. That is really actually very, 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 very rude. So there you go. I think that they do this. They might not consciously do it, but they feel they can do it because we're at a disadvantage. We either don't know they're doing it, like in that instance, or they think they can get away with it because there's nothing we can do about it. Anyway, I wondered if anyone else wanted to talk about this. If you feel free, if you don't want to, then of course feel free not to. And I think I'm going to go in now because I've got the I've got Rosie coming. What have you got there? Is that your heart? Have you got your heart? Show me. Oh, it's not. It's your wing. Where is your heart? I haven't seen that for ages. He's got this latex heart. It's not a filled-in one. It's like the outline of one. And it's squeaky. But I don't know where it is. It's one of the toys that survived the fire, because we found it in the garden after we moved back home. Well, I haven't seen it for ages, but it sounded like that's what he was picking up. But it's not. It's a little squeaky ring. Do you like your squeaky ring? Oh, do you want to come in on an aeroplane with me? I phoned up. Tomorrow we're booking our tickets. That's in other news. But Obi asked me to ring. I rang the assistance line today. We're going with EasyJet because we're flying to Inverness and we actually have no choice but to go with EasyJet, apparently. So we've inquired about the flights, the luggage and everything. And I wanted to double check, although I'd heard what we had to do, but I wanted to double check everything. So they told me what I needed to know, and I need to get in the car harness, and I need to... What else do I need to do? I've got a letter from Guide Dogs already. They've already spoken to me about it, or I've spoken to them, and they've written me a letter, which I've already received, to say he's a working guide dog, and he's been trained by them, and I need his ID tag on, which he always has on anyway, and they said that he has to wear a harness at all times, or a jacket, to show that he's a working dog. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but he's not going to be wearing it when he's laying down on the flight because it's not comfortable. But when she read out the instructions, it actually said this can be replaced by a safety harness. So that's what's going to happen. He's not going to be keeping his working harness on throughout the flight because it isn't comfortable, really. I mean, it's not uncomfortable, I suppose, but the girth strap is a bit restricting, really. He's never been on a plane before, but he's very good on transport. He's good in cars, buses, and you know, trains and everything, because he's pretty laid back. I said, did she think that he would be all the GDMI? My GDMI said, do you think that he... I mean, she knows me. She knows me. She's known me for a long time, before I had Niall. Do you think that he will be okay getting onto an aircraft, because he's never been on one before? She said, yes, I think he'll be absolutely fine. She said, what some dogs don't like are if you've got those metal steps. Well, I don't think he'll have a problem with those. I'm just trying to remember any instances when he's been up them. He's not funny about steps or anything. But she said, take some food. Now, I'm not a food reward user usually, but I'm going to take her advice and have a few bits of his food in my pocket or whatever to encourage him on. And I said, do you think he'll be okay? I said, I know he'll be fine when he's on there, but do you think he will get distressed in takeoff and landing? Because you know how it can make your ears go, the pressure on your ears. And she said, well, what you can do is, again, just give him something to eat while you're taking off, you know, because that will make him swallow and that will help with the air pressure. So I thought that was really good advice, and I'm going to do that. It's only a short flight. I thought it was only about an hour, but I think it's about an hour and three quarters or an hour and 40 minutes or something like that. So, you know, we'll know we've been on there. I actually have flown with one of my dogs before, and it was back when it really wasn't the norm. It was back in the 80s, actually. And I went to Forfar. Hello, Lammy, have you woken up? I went to Forfar to train with one of my dogs, Star, and I had to fly home with her. I flew up there. It was the first time I've ever flown. I was very young. And, oh, that's lovely, I think. Where's your yellow ball? Where's your ball? Where's your ball? Where's your ball, Niall? Where is it? Where's your ball? No, your ball, you dimmy. I can't pull that ring because it's too small. It's very small. It's about not much bigger than the palm of my hand. And if he lets go to get a re-grip on it, he'll have your hand. Make no mistake, not intentionally, but the sun's coming up more now. Where's your ball? Show me. Oh no, go and get your ball, you dimwit. What was I going to say? I forget what I was going to say now. I thought that was a good thing, you know, to do to help him. But Niall, I'm sure he's going to be absolutely fine. I'm looking forward to it. I've never taken him on holiday because I've only been abroad since I've had him. Who's he barking at? Ronan? Ronan must be in there. I wonder if that is trying to get Granny to play. She's just a tall order. Who are you playing with in there? Where's your ball? Where's your ball? That's not your ball, you stupid dog. Go and get your ball. Ball. Let me sit. Yeah, come here. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like giving things to me. Or anybody. Thank you. But if you say thank you, I'll give it to you. Right, I'm gonna now go and get your ball. I'm gonna hide that one. That I'm hiding it. Go and get your ball. Go and get your ball. Go and get your ball. No, your ball. Where's your ball? Where's your yellow ball? Suppose it's behind me. Ring. You really want it. He said, I really want my ring, you stupid one. What are you doing? You stupid. You flip. Go and get your ring. Oh, I'm sorry. Now I'm going to tell him. Go and get your ball. Go and get your ball. I'm not taking your ball on holiday because we might lose it. And also, we might smash something with it. Go and get your ball. Go and get your ball, you stupid idiot. Go on, go and get your ball. Go on. Go on. Go on. He knows I've got this. He's fixated on his ring behind me. Oh, all right, then, have it. I don't want it. Just don't expect me to play with it, because I can't. That's all. I don't know where his big ball is. A noisy thing. I think that's about it, really. Yeah, we've got the... I've got Connor's girlfriend coming tonight. Well, he has. And, I'm doing burgers. They're nice burgers. They're really nice ones. They're not the cheap frozen ones that shrink to half the size when you cook them. And I don't fry them. I bake them in the oven. And I've got some kind of mozzarella burger. I don't know if I'm even going to have anything to eat. But if I do, we're having sweet potato wedges and some kind of salad I shall make. And, of course, our burgers will be in a bun. Yay! Yay! Where's your ball? I'm not playing with that. I can't play with it. It's stupid. I think I bought that online and I didn't know how small it was until I saw it. It's not dangerous for him, but it's dangerous to pull. Go and get your ring. Go and get your ring, your other ring, or your ball. Because I can play with those. He's just walking aimlessly round with it in his mouth. I don't know where Toof Toof came from. It's probably right in front of me somewhere. Toofy! He's laid down with it now. He's wiping his tail. Toofy! Toofy can't hear me. There goes Big Ben. No, it's called Lazarus, my clock, because it rose from the dead. I haven't got a name for the other one yet, and that stops and he's winding up. Wound this one up today. You don't wind it up. You put the weights back up. It's a nice evening, actually. A really nice evening. Oh, and if any of you think Obi was really drunk last night, there was a bit of him on the end of the boo. He wasn't. He wasn't. He said he was tipsy. I wouldn't have even really called him that. But he had earphones on and he was singing. And the words he was saying were from a song. And I didn't know what on earth he was on about. And then he said, my ears are on fire. Because he had it too loud. He's going to deafen himself if he carries on like that. So no, he wasn't drunk. He's at work now. Anyway, I think I will upload this because I'm just sitting here talking rubbish. No, I won't get his ball. Where's your ball? Where's your ball? Ball. Ball. Bone. Bone. Where's your bone? Where's your bone? He's got his ring again. You really aren't the sharpest tool in the box. He said, thank you very much. Oh, he's gone in there now. I've insulted him, I've upset him, I think. It's either that or he's gone to look for something else. But I think he just walked straight back out. Come here. Show me. What have you got? Show me. Still his silly ring. I don't want it. It's horrible. It's stupid. It's just a plastic squeaky ring. It's too small. Squeak it then. Thankfully, he does squeak toys sometimes, but he doesn't do it incessantly. I don't think I could put up with a dog that does. I've had dogs that do that, but he's downright annoying in the end, isn't it? Isn't it? Thank you. thank you. And so, I suppose. You got it. Have you found it? You got it. I'm going to fly over the fence. I think he's got it. Yeah, he has. Give it to me then. Thank you. Sit. Thank you. It's quite good for throwing, it bounces. Thank you. I'm trying to pull it. Sit. Thank you. It does, it bounces quite well actually. It's not very heavy, so it's not dangerous to throw like a con. It's a bit. Oh, here's Tooth Tooth. Thank you. Sit. A Tooth Tooth's trying to jump up on my lap. Sit. Toofy, you don't like sitting on the screen. It's wagging his head. Go and turn him off, Toofy. Making too much noise. Come here. Sit. Thank you. Slobbery, and that's the only trouble. He's not letting Tooth Tooth sit between me and Emily. He's trying to ward him off. Come here. Niall. Sit. Thank you. Well, I hope I've done it. I'm going to do it one more time now. I've got to go in and do things. Sit. Thank you. I think it went in the cat's room then. All right, one more time. Sit. Thank you. Going to bounce it this time. I think that's enough now, don't you? I think it's time to go in. Oh, I'm just getting the sun here now, and it's actually nice. I've just realised I'm sitting on the seat and I'd stopped swinging. Oh, there's my watering can. Right, while I'm on here, I'm just going to have a look at my plants. Because my sister moved them. Where did she put them? You can tell that I didn't water them for 2 weeks, but we've had quite a bit of rain. Oh no, that damn rose bush. Oh, they're on the wall here, they're okay. Oh, my little tree is growing leaves. It's getting bigger. And watch that, there's a dead leaf on that one. That's on my geraniums. They probably do need watering actually. No, they're alright. Let's see what she put the others. I've got three more things. Now, oops. Hit your head on the swinging seat, why not? That's my curry plant. That's doing really well. And the lavender. And then some more geraniums. Yeah, they're all doing fine. That's good. Oh, the lavender smells lovely. Okay. All right then, folks. Oh, here's the best of the sun. This time of day, it's going down, you see, so you can get it at a certain point in the doorway. Only if you stand up. Because it's kind of gone behind the trees and it's coming over from next door's fence. Because this is a south-facing garden, so obviously That one is west. Anyway, have a good weekend all, and I'll speak to you for May Day's number 10 tomorrow. It's going quick.
Load battery.
Oh, shut up.
10% off battery remaining. 10% off.
Oh, load God, battery. It must have.
10% off battery. Load battery. 10% off dismiss.
It must have gone on for longer than I thought.
Close button. Reply. Close button.
Uh-oh.
Close button. We'll get something. Close button.
Oh, Connor's not going to be home for dinner.
Publish.
Well, that's all right. I've still got to do dinner for everyone else, though.